welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. We need to begin and make sure we are praying for everybody in South Carolina and North Carolina right now, as if you guys have already seen this hurricane that decided to sit down here and take a nap on the Bahamas for about a week. It was pretty horrible, and has now gone up north, and now it's actually bumped back up to a Cat 3 and is running, it looks like, a massive storm surge in Charleston and Wilmington. They already said as of this morning, almost a quarter of a million people are without power statewide. They have the shelters opening up, and I guess the flash flooding and the storm surge that backs up into those coastal rivers is becoming a real serious problem. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on that and let everybody know this thing has not gone away. I guess whoever's running this thing, as oddly as it was and as weird as it's been directed in the weather warfare systems that they've been operating for decades, it appears this storm, this hurricane, has not finished its cause, I guess you could say, and they want to continue to make sure people stay focused on it and there's enough destruction or at least enough attention on it for a period of time, Dan.
You know, also we have to continue to pray that thing gets cast out into the ocean, and we need to realize that, you know, we have powers here in the United States that are managing and directing every square kilometer of weather we have. Every single square kilometer of weather in the United States is managed and basically dictated. That's why we have hot spells, cold spells, warm spells, wet spells, dry spells. I mean, right now, in over Vietnam, I mean, the big river over there, I think it's the Mekong, it's basically running dry in spots, which is like never happened before. And the reason that we're having all these weather patterns and all these droughts is that the Earth can only hold X amount of moisture into the atmosphere. And when it's directed towards one area, like with this giant storm, it sucks all the moisture out from all the other areas. That's why up here in North Carolina, we've been having super dry weather, because all of the moisture is being pulled to the southeast. And this is what happens when you do weather warfare. This is what happens when you do weather manipulation. It constantly changes weather patterns globally. In addition to that, when you use this ionospheric heater called HARP, and you basically energize the atmosphere to create high pressure zones, what it does is it changes the temperatures in certain areas. And when you do that, especially over the Arctic region, you have a tendency to heat the ground underneath it. And when you do that, you have a tendency to start releasing methane that's been frozen in the permafrost for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, which massively contributes to global warming. And this is what Dane Whittington has said so many times. The biggest problem with global warming that we have is the methane release from the Arctic basins, which is like almost as if, and it's not really almost as if, it's as if they are terraforming the planet and they're changing it. I guess the entities that run the planet, if you want to call them that, the things that took down Building 7, working through individuals, they want to have a warmer climate here. I mean, who knows why? You know, Charlie Sheen did a movie years ago called The Arrival. It talked about how they were terraforming the planet and changing the planet and using ionospheric heaters to change the planet. It's strange to me, Austin, how so many people, you know, involved in this new world order thing are continually telling us through their movies and through their news releases of what they're planning on doing down the road. It's part of their lesser magic, or white magic, they call it, as far as their weird stuff they believe, because they feel as though if they don't tell you what they're going to do and you don't agree with it, or you don't say, I'm not going to do it, that what ends up happening is that they have permission from you, like letting the vampire into your house. And, you know, I get a lot of information from a lot of people. You know, Gene and Rainey and a lot of other people are out there. Alicia, Karen, Matthew, Mark, John, it's like the gospel group. All of these people are continually sending me information. Guys, I want to thank you for all that. And, I've got so many people out there supporting the ministry. Well, it's not a 501(c) corporation. I'm going to be very clear with that, our company. But I consider what I do as a ministry as far as why I do what I do. Yesterday I had a long talk with Karen. And I told her, I said, you know, so many people in the alt media now have done all kinds of crazy things in order to try to generate revenue. And they've compromised in many cases, and they've stopped talking about Christ. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, that's the reason I'm doing this show. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm on the air and Austin's on the air, we're going to be this format and we're going to talk about this. And I want to thank you guys again for what you've done to support us. And when you get your toothpaste and your underarm deodorant, okay, and your multiple vitamins from us, it makes a huge difference. Plus, our deodorant doesn't contain aluminum, which has been linked to breast cancer in women, especially when you're putting it under your arm next to the breast tissue. In almost every single case, women who have breast cancer, when they analyze the breast cells that have cancer, they're high in aluminum. Just thought a little information there for you. So thank you for supporting us like that. Now, also, some people are coming out and they're saying that Trump tacitly said that he was going to use biological weapons to exterminate 10 million people. He really didn't say that. I mean, he kind of talked about 10 million people, but he didn't say he was going to kill people with biological weapons. And some people are really misquoting this. And the quote was kind of like, you know, we wish we could win that war so fast if I wanted to kill 10 million people, which I don't. I'm not looking to kill a big portion of that country, Afghanistan. I have plans on Afghanistan that if I wanted to win that war, Afghanistan would be wiped off the face of the earth. It would be gone. It would be over literally in 10 days. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that route. That was ABC July 24th, 2019 quote. And he also says, as I've said, I'll take it any number of times. His speech, guys, is so weird when you try to quote him because it's weird how he talks. He goes, as I've said, I'll say it any number of times, and this is not using nuclear. We could win that war in a week if we wanted to fight it, but I'm not looking to kill 10 billion people, quoted by Press TV August 21st. Now, we have to stop for 1 second. Can we take these statements seriously? I mean, are you telling me that, you know, there's actual plans out there on the drawing board to kill 10 million people? Where do you get these numbers? If you're going to do it, you're not going to be using nuclear. Are you going to be using space-based weapon systems? Right? That's something they could be using. Or are they going to be using biological weapons? And if they're going to use biological weapons when they have these types of contingencies, are they planning on containing it in that specific area? I mean, how are you going to contain a biological weapon if it's super contagious? I mean, how are you going to contain it? How are you going to keep somebody from getting on an airplane or getting across the border? I mean, so we have a lot of weird stuff coming from this president and a lot of stuff that he says. And he really doesn't need to be talking like this. I mean, you don't talk about killing 10 million people. You don't even – those words shouldn't come out of your mouth. And I'm hoping that a lot of this stuff is just hype and that but he never said that he was going to use biological weapons. But the thing about it is, Austin, is that when I listen to what Trump says and how he says it, it's very frustrating to me because I don't know – how to interpret what he's saying. It's almost like this Q phenomenon that's running around. You know, why can't Q just use real words? Why can't he just say, oh, by the way, this is going to happen. Here's the people who are going to do it. He doesn't do that. He comes up with all these cryptic texts, and they have to try to interpret it. Now, let me explain to you. This is all like part of the CIA Book of Magic that I've posted on my doggone website now that was actually written a long, long time ago that we could talk about later, but I'm not going to talk about it now. And it talks about, you know, it goes back into the old Gottlieb, the guy who was called the Doctor of Death, you know, the satanic leader of this group that basically was using all of these potions and formulas to find out how to kill people and extract truth out of people. And what they do is everything's very cryptic. Let me give you an example. You have these fortune tellers, and they basically come in and they say stuff to you that's very in generalized terms, which can be interpreted in a vast variety of ways. And so when something happens, you go, oh, yeah, he said this or she said this. Well, no, they didn't. They implied something similar to that might have happened, but they never said this or that or this. That way they get a higher accuracy rate, and they keep people confused. And they have people coming back to them over and over and over and over again. And this is all part of the psychological warfare that the CIA does on the American population. This is part of what the Q phenomenon is all about. Q is basically a bot, you know, an algorithm that's being used by a group of people who are managing the information to take the patriots out of the fight as far as making us all sedate, thinking, you know, the Trump will survive, the Trump will do this, the Trump will do that. He's playing three-dimensional chess. Well, I think we're all pretty much over that now. I mean, now Donald Trump is talking about using the Chinese credit score-based system that Austin talked about it the other day in order to basically allow people to buy guns. I mean, this is nuts. You're talking about using a credit score system to buy guns. You're talking about white privilege needs to stop. You're talking about, you know, enhanced background checks, and you're talking about red flag gun laws. This is coming from the president who said he's going to protect our Second Amendment rights. And I talked to one of my other folks who do a lot of shows, and I'm on their show, they're on my show yesterday, and I said, if Donald Trump does this, if he doesn't stop the Second Amendment stuff, he's going to lose the election in 2020 because he's going to lose his base. Because the American population know that if the guns get taken away, we have no ability to defend ourselves. We'll be put into gulags like in Soviet Union, which is where their stuff's coming from. Now, after Austin's next set, here's his next couple of stories. I want you to grab a sheet of paper and pencil because I'm going to go into – I've never gone into detail on the formation of the Frankfurt School. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to tell you who the people were who were involved in the Frankfurt School and what their goals were and how they were tied to the Communist Party. This is going to be one of the shows that you guys are going to have to put into your archives to listen to several times and give to your friends as far as this group. In fact, Dave Dobemeyer put an excellent article out this morning about the White Hats. You know, he was talking about the old Western movies where the White Hats would come in and just save the day. And, you know, and so it wasn't like the stuff then with the United Nations and the stuff going on over there with these paid contractors. But what he said was that, you know, we have got to learn how to step up what we're doing and to protect the country. And so I'm going to cover the Frankfurt School right now in detail. Austin, what do you think and what's your next story?
Yeah, absolutely. And to touch base, you know, I've seen a couple articles, you know, discussing this, what Trump's looking at and everything else. The main thing that a lot of people are starting to get some traction on the article is actually what I talked about almost 2 weeks ago now. I brought it up on the Hagman Show, I brought it up on our show, is the creation of the branch known as HARPA that has already been pretty much situated, put together, and they've had that since, I think, 2017. I went into detail on them on the show, same thing on the last Hagman Show. Went into detail discussing what it was and what it was about first, basically decrease the or increase the rate of life with people that have pancreatic cancer. Well, now it's evolved into this monster, and so they want to start using HARPA to monitor, you know, what people do inside their own homes to determine whether or not they're going to be a threat. So they can do a psychological profile on you, not based on just what you look at online, not based on what you say on Facebook, but what you do, what you say, what you even think about in the privacy of your own home. I talked in detail yesterday as well about the aspects of what Elon Musk and Facebook and Google and all these top alphabet boys have been working on as far as with the scanning of the brain, figuring out and actually reading your thoughts, doing the Neuralink implant. So if you want to listen to that show yesterday, I also went into detail about Google, the Alphabet company that now owns all that, and how they're branched into everything now, including pharmaceutical and vaccine manufacturing, which is ironic when you have a company like Google that made over $100 billion last year, 2017, just in Google. As a search engine that sells your information at third-party vendors, is now being used as a company to also manufacture vaccines and couple with pharmaceutical companies like GlaxoSmithKline and Merck. It's like a Twilight Zone when you read some of this. But another article that I found to be kind of weird, this is very strange actually. You guys remember a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I brought up the article from Newsweek that discussed cannibalism and basically the aspects of taboo of cannibalism, but kind of, you know, it kind of side-skirted some stuff, making it sound like it's okay or it's normal or we should normalize it or we may need to do it because of the climate change. And we hear about all this stuff now being pushed further and further and further in climate change. Also, too, this is even weirder now. As I told you, Newsweek 2 weeks ago put out this article on cannibalism, kind of normalizing it. Well, also this week in Sweden, this is Sweden, Sweden News, Efterfem Takag, which is basically the news show that it was on, morning show, a Swedish behavioral scientist was on the show and now suggests that it may be necessary to turn to cannibalism and start eating humans in order to save the planet, appearing on the Swedish television to talk about an event based around the food of the future, is what he coined it as. Magnus Söderlund said he would be holding seminars on the necessity of consuming human flesh in order to stop climate change. I kid you not. According to Söderlund, a potential fix would be the Soylent Green solution of eating dead bodies, which you saw in the movie with Charlton Heston when they discussed that. Söderlund also acknowledged that people are slightly conservative when it comes to eating things they're not accustomed to, such as human bodies. The discussion took place and was accompanied by a picture, basically a graphic, back up on the screen of human hands on the end of forks. The reason why I bring this up is because they're doing everything they can now in their power to normalize some of the most sadistic behavior known to man and make it appear that it's essentially for the good of humanity. It's for the climate change. I saw an article earlier. I'm going to try to pull it up again. I was reading part of it, and I'll find it again here. But it's basically going in and discussing the fact of now the abortion companies aren't happy enough with, you know, the roughly 950,000 to a million U.S. abortions in the United States every year. That's not enough for them. Now that they've even allowed it to go to full-term abortions in New York, now they've coupled with dozens of other companies to try to push and remove parental rights from teenage girls and having the ability to, the parents don't have to sign off or be even involved for, say, a 12 or 13 year old girl to go in and have an abortion now. They want the kids to be able to go have abortions at will without any parental supervision or parental sign off on it. I'll find that article later. But what's getting so sick about this now is all of this stuff is constantly being used as an excuse for climate change. And now, of course, ironically enough, September 17th through September 30th, at the end of this month, in New York, the session of the UN General Assembly Council will be coming together, and on September 23rd, they will convene for a climate summit to discuss climate change and all the climate problems, so to speak, that they have to do to implement when it comes to more taxes, the reducing food consumption, all the stuff that we've talked about for years. They're going in detail again, and then the next day, they're also going to be having an entire day high-level meeting on global universal health care and how to implement that. I kid you not, that's the next step on it. So this is what they're trying to do now, but they find it very, very ominous that we've had two news outlets in the past 2.5-3 weeks, so to speak, now discuss cannibalism and the pros of cannibalism and fixing climate change when we have the UN General Assembly coming together in just a few short weeks to discuss climate change as well, almost like they're trying to prime the population of the world for the UN to release something either this year or in the very near future, in the next couple years, that, you know, the next step is going to be this recycling of human bodies and using them as food in the general population. Sounds weird, sounds like it could never happen. I hate to tell you, this is where we're at now as far as this is how weird the Twilight Zone's gotten, Dan.
You know, Austin, it's interesting because, you know, they call us goyim or cattle. They consider us to be just another life form on this planet, something to be consumed or be managed or to be culled. And for them to step to this next level and say that we should be eating each other, that's about right. That's about where they need to take it, where they're planning on taking it. Remember in the book of Enoch, this was going on already, when we had the Nephilim, the fallen angels that were eating human beings. Hey, well, that's awful. I've never heard of that before. Well, the book of Enoch was taken out by the Roman Catholic Church, I think in 323, but it was left in the Ethiopian Bible. So you need to read the book of Enoch not as an apocryphal text, but you need to look at it as a historical document. And you say, well, it sounds kind of crazy, some of the stuff they talk about in there. I didn't say it didn't sound crazy, but we got these guys now talking about eating people in Soylent Green. This is, again, to turn the entire thing that God created upside down, is create as much chaos and destruction as they possibly can, and to make human beings think they're only animals. I mean, this is some sick stuff, but it's what they do. Now, let's talk about the Frankfurt School and their evil agenda. Let's go into detail about how this all got started, who the people were. You know, this is a group of German-American scholars who developed a highly provocative and original perspectives on contemporary society and culture, drawing on Hegel, Marx, Freud, and Weber. Their idea of cultural revolution wasn't new. Joseph Comte Mastre, who for 15 years had been a Freemason, had this to say: until now, nations were killed by conquest, that is, by invasion. But here an important question arises: can a nation not die on its own soil without resettlement or invasion, by allowing the flies of decomposition to corrupt the very core, those original constituent principles which make it what it is? Now, do you hear what he just said? I mean, who talks like this? In other words, if you can go ahead and cause it to basically decay from within and to corrupt. Now, he died in 1821, but he was one of the first people who started a cult revolution. Well, in the days following the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, it was believed that a workers' revolution would sweep into Europe and eventually into the United States, but it failed to do so. Towards the end of 1922, the Communist International began to consider the reasons for the failure. Now, this is what I've talked about. It's because of nationalism. They had to destroy the American family. They had to destroy a woman's role, a man's role, a child's role. They had to do this. They had to destroy the internal fabric that made a society, because it didn't sweep into Russia, into the United States. On Lenin's initiative, a meeting was organized at the Marx Engels Institute in Moscow. The aim of the meeting was to throw light on the meaning of Marx's Cultural Revolution. What did Cultural Revolution entail? What was it all about? First of all, those present was George Lukács, a Hungarian aristocrat, son of a banker. He'd become a communist during World War I. He was a Marxist theoretician. He had developed the idea of revolution and Eros. Then there was Willy Mützenberg, another individual whose proposed solution to the problem besetting society was to organize the intellectuals and use them to make Western civilization sink. Only then, after they had corrupted all of its values and made life impossible, we can impose the dictatorship of the proletariat or communism. It was Ralph De Tolentino, a conservative author and co-founder of the National Review, a meeting more harmful to Western civilization than the Bolshevik Revolution itself. Lenin died in 1924, but by that time, Stalin had risen to power and was beginning to look on Willy Mützenberg, George Lukács, and other Jewish revolutionaries like Trotsky as dangerous Marxist revisionists, introducing concepts into Marxism that were alien to Marxism. In June 1940, on Stalin's order, Mützenberg was hunted down to the south of France by an assassination squad and hanged from a tree. Guys, this is just history. In the summer of 1924, after being attacked for his writings by the Fifth Comintern Congress, Lukács moved to Germany, where he chaired the first meeting of a group of communist-oriented socialists. Here he comes. Here he gets ready. It's about the Frankfurt School. The gathering led to the foundation of the Frankfurt School, all based in communism now. This school, designed to put flesh on the revolutionary program, was started at the University of Frankfurt in the Institute for Social Forschung. To begin with, school and institute were indistinguishable. Later, it moved to Goethe University, of course. In 1923, the institute had been officially established and funded by Felix Huvel. He was basically another, he's an Argentinian, and he was sent to attend school in Germany at the age of 9. He attended universities in Tübingen and Frankfurt when he graduated with his doctoral degree in political science, while at these universities he became increasingly interested in social Marxism and socialism. Karl Grunberg, the institute's director, was an avowed Marxist, although the institute did not have any official party affiliations. But in 1930, Max Horkheimer assumed control. He believed that Marxist theory could be the basis of the institute's research. When Hitler came to power in 1933, he knew about these people. He had enough of them. And so the institute was closed. And its members, by various routes, fled to the United States and ended up in academics at major universities, Columbia, Princeton, Brandeis, and California at Berkeley. The fact that they spoke very poor English was no disqualification. They still managed to obtain prestigious academic appointments through influence, through networking, and this is how they got in. The school included among its members 1960s guru of the New Left, Herbert Marcuse, denounced by Pope Paul VI for his theory of liberation, which opens the way for sexual license cloaked as liberty. Remember what I told you? Gloria Steinem, Playboy Magazine. All of these guys were brought through from this. Max Horkheimer, Theodore Adorno, a popular French writer, and Eric Fromm, Leo Lowenthal, and Jürgen Habermas, all these individuals were basically involved. The Frankfurt School believed that as long as an individual had the belief, or even the hope of belief, that his divine gift of reason could solve the problems facing society, then society would never reach the state of hopelessness and alienation that was necessary to provoke a socialist revolution. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Here's what the Frankfurt School believed, that if you had any hope of belief, that you could not go to hopelessness, and they could not have a Marxist revolution. So they had to destroy hope. Their task, therefore, was as swiftly as possible to undermine Christianity. Now, to undermine Western civilization, the Frankfurt School called for the most negative and destructive criticism possible of every sphere of life, to destabilize society and bring it to its knees, to engineer collapse, to produce crisis and catastrophe. This became the aim of these maladjusted and mentally sick revolutionaries masquerading as high-powered intellectuals. Their policies, they hoped, would spread like a virus, continuing the work of the Western Marxists by other means, which is what has happened. To further the advance of their quiet revolution, the Frankfurt School made the 12 following recommendations. Listen to this. all of them calculated to destroy the United States and undermine society. Number one, the creation of racism, offenses, and hate speech laws. Number two, continual change to create confusion. It's like Common Core school curriculum. Number three, sexual education in school combined with homosexualization of children and their corruption by exposing them to child porn in the classroom. Number four, the systematic undermining of the parent-teacher's authority. Number five, huge immigration to destroy national identity and to foment future race wars. Number six, the systematic promotion of excessive drinking and recreational drugs, the 60s. The systematic promotion of sexual deviance in society, all over around now. Number eight, an unreliable legal system with a bias against the victims of crime. Number nine, dependency on state beliefs and benefits. Number 10, control and dumbing down the media. Remember now, six companies now control 96% of the world's media. Number 11, encouraging the breakdown of the family. And number 12, an all attack on Christianity and the emptying of churches. Wow. In the Soviet Union, under Stalin, these communists made sure the churches were emptied, and they accomplished this by simple the expedience of burning the churches, thousands of them, many times with the people in them. This is what is happening through the Frankfurt School. This is who these guys are. It's the destroying of the Christian values. This is who brought us Gloria Steinem. This is who brought us Playboy and Hugh Hefner and him running around in his bathrobe and having these beautiful women all over him and talking about having sex with them and promoting this as a normal value for the American population. This is who did this to us. You think, wow, is that simple? Well, it's not simple, guys. It's very complicated. They had to infiltrate the schools. They had to infiltrate the government. And guess what? The other guys who were involved with them, the same guys who brought Marxism into Europe, were the Rothschild banking cartels. This is the same group that financed the Soviet Revolution. This is the same group that are basically the ones who are running the international banking cartels, almost all of the media today, and basically the satanic Luciferians who are just trying to destroy Christianity. It's always the same people, guys. It's the same people who took down Building 7. And once we understand who these guys are and what the Frankfurt School is and what they did, it makes more sense as to what's happened to our culture. Remember when Ellen DeGeneres came out and said, you know, I'm gay or I'm lesbian or whatever she said back in the 90s. And everybody went, oh, I can't believe she did that. Oh, boy, have we come past that now? Now we're talking about eating human beings. And now pretty soon, in 20 years from now, it'll be like, oh, well, yeah, these countries allow the eating of humans. Why don't you? When these people think it's okay to be a cannibal, why don't you? People have been eating people for thousands of years. It's a way to stop global warming. Let's eat one another. Well, that's sick. Well, no, it's sick to us. It's sick to us, guys, because we have a value system that's based on traditional Christianity because we were born in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s. But, guys, the new key people that are coming up right now that are being raised with the Ellen DeGeneres on national TV promoting their gay and lesbian lifestyle, all of the gay stuff that's going on at Disney World, all of the gay stuff that goes on all the time through all of these major corporations and being pushed through the media, it's become the new normal. It's like Alexander Bruce said in that one article she wrote a few weeks ago, when she said autism is becoming the new normal. Autism is the way it's going to be. Asperger's syndrome is the way it's going to be. When almost all the children have these types of conditions, it becomes the new normal. This is what they did to us with this Frankfurt School. They brought this to us. I just read you the 12 things they said you have to do to destroy a country. They've done every one of those to us. And this is the group that's done it. And see, and this is all part of the international banking cartel and what they do. I mean, they take all of these things that we know are wrong, and they put them in front of us, and they make us believe they're right. And we don't believe they're right because, you know, I'm a 50s boy. I don't believe it's right at all. Yeah, my dad was born in 1901. Okay, I was raised old school. I think it's nuts. But the new kids and the new indoctrination into the school systems have been very effective. I talked to a young lady the other day. She's 16 years old. I was talking to her about Jesus, and I was talking to her about sexual orientation. And she said, look, she goes, almost all of my friends say they're bisexuals now. Did you hear what I just said, friends? They said they're bis. They're not heterosexuals anymore. They're bisexuals. You know, I mean, with Katy Perry and her little video, Bon Appetit, and what she's being eaten and served up, I mean, what kind of – now they're talking about cannibalism. You know, with Miley Cyrus saying she's pansexual, which means she'll have sex with anything. I mean, you know, look at the relationships he had with the one guy, Thor's brother, you know, the guy from the Marvel movies. I mean, he's had enough of all of this crazy stuff with her. I mean, this whole generation's gotten twisted up, and it's because of this school indoctrinating us through our educational system. Remember, Hitler said this, and I don't like quoting Hitler, but it's just the way it is. That sometimes he actually said things that were right. Sometimes he said some crazy stuff. It's like, I guess everybody does. He said, if you give me the youth, I'll give you a new country. Let me change the youth. And see, he wanted to promote the youth to have nationalism, promote the youth to believe in Germany as a nation. And see, and this is what happened in the United States. We became Americans after World War I and after World War II. We fought two world wars, and we knew that we could do anything we wanted to do through Christ because we were a Christian nation. And so when they came over with their communist mentality in the 20s and the 30s, they tried to subvert our cultures. We told them to hit the road, Jack, don't look back, hit the road. We're not going to do this. You know, we're Americans. We're nationalists. We believe in the United States. We, you know, we bleed red, white, and blue. You know, we wrap ourselves in the stars and stripes. So go away, you stinking communist. Okay? Well, they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand what happened in Germany. So they had to find a way to undermine society. And they kind of snuck in the back door, and they've been very effective for the past 100 years. But I want to go into more detail with you about the Frankfurt schools. I've had so many of you ask me and call me and write me questions about this. So I wanted to give you the opportunity just to hear the people who were involved and what the series of events was that caused this horrible, horrible indoctrination into our school systems. And then you got to throw in the Leipzig school, which is also another branch of this mess, and their operating classical conditioning with Skinner and all the rest of the stuff, and how they've trained all of these children like animals, like Pavlovian dogs in the classroom. Horrible, horrible stuff. Austin, what do you think, buddy, and what's your next story?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can see this, and I've witnessed this now because I'm in my 30s, and so I was still in that generation where, you know, they were still trying to do as much as they could with bringing down the moral fabric of society, but the internet had really not gotten a handle on anything yet because it really didn't exist to most aspects until, you know, the early 2000s that it actually do anything. And so, you know, we still kind of had that, but now what they've done is, as Dad's just said, that with the music videos, the music itself, with the movies, with the Common Core education, with this aspect now, like Dad said, and I've heard this from other people too, is that a lot of this younger generation, they literally identify as bisexual. The guys will get involved with homosexual behavior, but they'll also have a girlfriend. The girls will be dating girls and dating guys at the same time. And one aspect that I find so odd right now, and this is something that even for me being in my 30s, you know, I'm not old at all, but this is so odd to me, is that nobody dates anymore. And I don't mean nobody has sex anymore. I'm not referring to that. I'm meaning nobody dates. Everybody wants to have this laissez-faire, like, oh, well, and I mean, I've heard this now from numerous people that I know with younger kids or friends that are younger, and I've tried to, because I, you know, you guys, you know me, I talk a lot. I'm always trying to hear things. I'm always asking questions. I'm always trying to figure out what's going on. I try to have a handle on a lot of stuff that's going on. And it's so strange right now because the morals and ethics of the younger generation, male and female, are pretty much all but void. The girls don't want to be in a relationship anymore because they want to be able to have 3, 4, 5 different guys that they're constantly talking to on social media all the time and that they can engage in sexually at any point in time. The guys don't want to have a girlfriend because they have the same thing with multiple girlfriends on the line or girls that they talk with all the time, but they don't want to be in a relationship. So everybody's in this like open, almost like swinging relationship now. Everybody just kind of like runs around. And now to take it a step further, now it's in this aspect where everybody's like bi. Everybody wants to engage in homosexual behavior, heterosexual behavior. Nobody's dating, but everybody's engaged in this behavior. It really, and this is what Dad's talking about. So he's 100% accurate about this because I've seen this come to light in the last couple of years now more heavily than I've ever seen before. And it's a lot of it is because of the industry with the Hollywood and the music industry and what they've done now as far as refusing to, and they've done it intentionally more and more and more. And back to the article that I was referring to where Dad was talking about, Planned Parenthood now, along with a coalition of 74 other pro-abortion groups, 74, are now lobbying to eliminate parental rights when it comes to underage girls and also youth-assigned females I'm not even going to get into that term. I'm not even sure exactly what that means. I'm assuming it's referring to girls that are female but don't want to be designated as a female. This whole weird perverted thing I just talked about. They don't want to be classified as a female, but they're assigned female at birth, but they don't identify as a female. That's what they're referring to, this perverted thing. Was an article that came out in the Washington Examiner, and it shows this lobbying effort with a 116-page document that has now been endorsed by the national LGBTQ, rest of the alphabet you want to add on there, whether they're calling a task force with the ACLU and the National Abortion Federation in order to advance sexual and reproductive health care rights and justice. Kid you not. They're saying that they're to having to get parental consent is detrimental to the empowerment of underage girls as well as youth assigned females. Again, whatever they're trying to designate with that. And so what they're trying to say is here is that it is hurting young girls that are of any sexual age to have to go through the burden of asking their parents for permission to kill an unborn child. I kid you not. I read through some of this stuff, and I mean, it is some sick stuff. The fact that they're actually people that are supporting this, it boggles my mind. It really does. Knowing that there's people out there like this, you understand it, but seeing them actually put it into writing and try to promote it, and it's even crazy because even the Washington Examiner, Ryan Nahus, who's writing, basically commenting on the article, he goes, and I quote, he goes, "If the true goal of the coalition is to help empower young women, shouldn't they encourage young women to look to their mothers or their families, or at least an experienced adult, such as a judge, for guidance in a potentially intense and emotional time? After all, considering that adult engagement is required for getting your ears pierced or even taking an aspirin at school, surely making a life-ending decision such as an abortion is worth a conversation with someone, anyone, who isn't making money and profiting off of it." And I mean, he makes a very valid point right there that's pretty much common sense, but apparently these individuals don't even want to look at that aspect of it. You have to get parental consent to take medication at school. You have to get parental consent to get a tattoo or get your ears pierced if you're not 18. But now they're saying that if you're an 11, 12-year-old girl and you basically are having promiscuous sex and you have a kid and you get pregnant and you want to abort the child, you should not even have to go through the undue task of talking to your parents. You should be able to go right to the abortion clinic, tell them what you want, and they'll take you in the back and execute that child without any questions asked. This is some sick stuff we're dealing with. And to throw on top of it that these guys, these abortion clinics, make millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And then on top of that, we fund them through taxpayer dollars. I love that. And of course, Trump still has not defunded Planned Parenthood or abortion. There's been aspects that they have revenue that's not going to them now, but his dad has always said money's fungible. When you start giving hundreds of millions of dollars in federal grants to an abortion clinic that's huge, and you say, oh, well, they can't use it for abortions. Like, okay, cool. I believe you believe that, but I don't even believe that. So this is something that you have to look at and understand. This is how sick it's getting, and this is exactly what his dad's talking about. This Frankfurt school, all the stuff that they put together is finally starting to come to a head, and this is why we have to be so vocal about our beliefs, about our rights, about our everything when it comes to the Constitution, because it's not only the constitutional rights anymore, it's the morals and ethics that are being dissolved faster than we can even watch them disappear. And if we don't start bringing this stuff to light and talking about this stuff and having conversations with our kids and telling them about these things and saying, listen, this isn't okay. And this is the problem we've gotten into now in this country, is that we've reached a point where political correctness has taken such a hold. And this is why I've talked about it and I've yelled about it and I've screamed about it for years, about political correctness. This is what happens when you allow political correctness to take hold in a society, especially a Christian society. The people that were there that are God-fearing Americans slowly start self-censoring themselves for fear of reprisal because they do not want to deal with the backlash, so they start to have political correctness and allow it in the churches, allow it in the families, allow it in the friends, allowed across every board.
That's right.
And people become almost scared to have a conversation with their child and say, hey, son, daughter, it's not okay to be pansexual. It's not okay to be bisexual. It's not okay to have 4 and 5 different boyfriends or girlfriends, or to just randomly have sex with whoever you want with and be homosexual and heterosexual and pick which one you want today. It's not okay. This is what's happened now, because nobody wants to stand up and say it's not okay, because we don't want to deal with the backlash. We don't want to deal with anybody saying, you are a bigot. You can't say that. That's politically incorrect. Oh, I'm sorry, let me bow back down and lick your boot. I forgot I'm not allowed to speak unless spoken to. That's how a lot of these people act now. And even Christians are acting like that. And pastors are acting that way. And if we continue to act this way, it's going to get worse. Be vocal. Make a statement. Stand in your beliefs. Don't compromise when people try to tell you to shut up and sit down because they don't want to hear what you're saying. Because the truth about it is, if they want to spew this rhetoric and say, everybody has a right, you can't tell anybody what they can and can't do, okay, I can't tell anybody what they can and can't do, but if you have the right to say what you believe, then I absolutely darn well have the right to say what I believe, and I can yell it from the rooftops just like you do, and it doesn't matter what I say. If you can say something, I can say something, because that's the irony of this political correctness now. They want to muzzle anything about the truth, about Christians, about God Almighty, about guns, about pro-life. All that has to be muzzled. You can't talk about that. That's politically incorrect. But hey, while we're at it, we'll talk about how 8-year-old boys can have genital mutilation surgery and they can pretend they're girls now, and you can't call anybody by a pronoun that they get offended by. Oh, this is all okay. You can do all this, but best believe you better not talk about the Bible, God, or guns. That's absolutely off topic. That is not acceptable anymore in this country, because if we keep allowing that to occur, what has exactly been occurring, this perverted stuff like allowing 12-year-old girls to go have abortions without parental consent will be the new norm. Eating people will be the new norm. And people go, that's sick, Austin. It is sick. It's absolutely sick. But the fact that we're having multiple news outlets globally talk about and normalizing cannibalism is pretty sick in itself, and should wake a lot of people up in this country that this is coming to a city near you unless you make a change and you start talking about this stuff and saying that it is not normal, Dad. Did we lose Ted, Todd? I don't know where he went.
I'm here, buddy. I'm here. I apologize. I had put you on mute because I was writing stuff down. I don't want you to hear me scribbling on the notepad.
Thank you, Austin.
That was extremely well done. I was taking notes while you were saying this, and what we have to realize, and this is how they do in group settings. And you were talking about, if you can say something, they can say something. They can say something. You can say something. There's something called the Adelphi technique, and I talked about it before several years ago, in which a person who's leading a group can actually go in and twist the agenda of the group and shut down dissent and do it from the front of the building to basically shut the person up and make him leave. This is called Delphi technique. There's actually a term. It's called Delphi technique, controlling the group think. I had it happen to me one time. We had a church. Gosh, I've got to be careful when I say this, because a lot of people listen to me locally. There was a local church that we used to attend, and it was hemorrhaging people. We'd lost 2/3 of the congregation, and the pastor had gotten up on the platform and spoken about how he had been watching Playboy TV and he needed prayer, okay? And so we just kept losing more and more people. And you're thinking, why would the pastor do that? I still don't know. He should have talked to his elders and had prayer and whatever, but he should have announced it publicly like that. Well, I was trying to address the fact that our budget was having a massive shortfall because we were losing so many people in the church, and I got up to talk about this, and I was immediately shut down, parliamentary procedure, and basically told to sit down, shut up, and leave, which I did. I basically said what I was going to say. I was walking out the door, and, of course, the church folded up. It left. The pastor left the church, ran the money out of the church. I mean, it was a big disaster, okay? But I've seen it. I've been exposed to that in groupthink as far as in a group organizational thought like that. I've had it happen to me personally. Then you have Hegelian dialectic, which is problem, action, solution, which they create the problem. They tell you the actions created, and they give you a solution on the problem they created to maneuver you. This goes back to what Otto Kahn said back in the 20s as far as how these international banking communities, these top-level Satan leaders who basically run the money supply, how they control the earth and hold it by its axis to allow the earth to do exactly what they want to have happen on the planet and create the desired outcome. And, you know, and a lot of people are, as Austin said earlier, he says, I believe you believe that. He said that was, he was joking. Let me tell you where that came from. Years ago, we were at a car dealership. Austin was like 15, 16 years old. Austin's laughing now because he knows what I'm going to say. And we were, you know, the kids wanted to look at these Mitsubishis. I forgot what they were called. And Austin.
The Nissan, you know, the GTR. Friend,
Nissan GTR. And we had, Austin was there and he had a friend with him and they were looking at this car and they had stanchions around the car. And this sales guy walks over and he goes, this is the most unique car you've ever seen. It has self-healing paint. And I looked at him and said, it has self-healing paint. He goes, yeah, you can take a key and you can go down the whole side of this car and you can scratch it and it will heal itself. And I looked at him. He was just being just, I mean, just like, you know, thinking we're all a bunch of morons, right? And I looked at him. I said, you know what, bud? I said, I believe you believe that, but I sure don't believe that. it was ridiculous. And sometimes people do that. They say things that they really believe that, you know, are so far out there that you have no ability to even think through that this could be a possibility, like self-healing paint. But yet they come across with these convictions because that's what they were told by some moron in some meeting somewhere. They think it's true. And this is the problem you run into. You know, this is the problem you run into when you say, well, the chemtrails have stopped. And you look outside, there's chemtrails. And you go, well, those aren't real chemtrails. Those are just something else. You know, Trump's controlling those now. No. That's not possible. That's not what's going on. The geoengineering is being used to do everything. Control the storms, increase the plasma conductivity of the lower atmosphere. It's being used for over the horizon missile radar. All of this stuff is being used via geoengineering. And the problem that we have and the problem that we run into with this stuff, guys, is that we have this disinformation coming out from all these different sources, especially in the alt media now. The alt media has gotten awful, okay? You got to listen to cursing, smoking, drinking, everything else while you're hearing all kinds of information. 80% of it's right, 20% of it's just off the wall, weird stuff. And so they've got into us too now. They've got into, and they've infiltrated the alt media. You got to stay on point. You got to realize who's doing this. It's the guys who took down Building 7. You can't get caught up in Kim Kardashian's butt and everything else. You can't be doing all that. You got to say, no, I'm not going to listen to all that weird stuff. Let me give another example. The DNC now, basically, it says they have taken a new resolution now, and it takes aim against Christians, warning against religious liberty. Last month, the Democratic National Committee passed a resolution praising the religiously unaffiliated, saying their values align with those of the Democratic Party and recognizing them as the largest religious group in that party. Yet the resolution also took up arms against misplaced claims of religious liberty. This is, we're talking about Christians now, warning that religious freedom threatens the civil rights and liberties of many liberal interest groups. Wait a minute. How does my religious freedom threaten the civil right and liberty of many special interest groups? Well, because I'm saying that maybe homosexuality is not the best interest. I mean, you know, guys, they tried Sodom and Gomorrah. It didn't work. It failed. It's not here anymore, okay? They did. Those most loudly claiming that morals, values, and patriotism must be defined by their particular religious views have used those religious views with misplaced claims of religious liberty to justify public policy that has threatened the civil rights and liberties of many Americans, including, not limited to, that's here it goes, including but not limited to the LGBT community, women, and ethnic and religious, non-religious minorities, the DNC resolution states. What? Yeah, guys, I'm going to post this on our website. This is from Tyler O'Neill. It's a good article. But, Health Masters has its own news site. We post these stories that we cover on the show. We post them on the news site. And this will be posted there today. In fact, I'm doing it right now. Because we have to understand, guys, that if we don't stick together and stay focused on what we're doing, these guys are going to twist everything sideways and backways. Here's another interesting article. And it's good. It says, the Me Too backlash is worse than anticipated, according to a new 2019 study, as even women are now less likely to hire other women. I mean, there you go. Anyone with half a brain cell still working back in 2007, this is an article by Duclos, says anyone with half a brain cell still working knew back in 2017 when the Me Too movement started that the backlash would set feminism and females in the business world backwards rather than empowering them as they originally thought that it would do. And every single study taken by multiple organizations, the researchers since, has proven that to be the case. See, what this basically is saying is when you make women the victim and when you talk to them or tell them that their dress is pretty or their shoes are pretty or their hair looks nice today, that you're a sexist pig. There you go. You've got nice hair, so you're a sexist pig. When you say that to them, and they can sue you on Title IX or whatever they want to find to sue you on it because you said they had nice shoes. What the heck? What did they think was going to happen? But again, this was to destroy the relationship between men and women. That's what it was for. So you can't be nice to women anymore. You can't even open the door for them. You're a sexist pig. You opened the door for me. Oh, my gosh. I'm a sexist pig. I'm so sorry. I'm a sexist pig. No, you're not. It's like Gillette. They're so stupid. $12 billion in losses. They made everybody who were their primary customers sexist pigs. And they lost billions and billions of dollars because they said, you're sexist pigs and you got to use our razors because you got to teach your little girl how to shave when she turns into a trans. And you're like, what the heck? Are you nuts? Yeah. Little by little. Remember what Jesus said? A little leaven works its way through the whole loaf. Guys, this is exactly what's happening. This little bit of stuff they put through in the Frankfurt School by these few quote-unquote quasi-intellectuals that were such weird and twisted sickos has worked its way now for 100 years and permeated our culture and allowed through the financing of the Federal Reserve System and the international banking cartels almost complete and total monopoly of our school systems, our banking systems, our entertainment systems, all of the things that make such a huge difference in the lives of regular Americans as far as affecting them and their values. It's been hijacked by these same clowns. And now with the Me Too movement, like I told you, I've got a friend of mine who basically is a radio show personality, and his co-host has now filed a complaint against him because she said he offended her. Blah, blah, blah. He's a shock jock. It's what shock jocks do. I don't listen to shock jocks. I don't like shock jock radio. They come up with these crazy stories and they say these crazy things. I mean, I told you guys, I've been on with shock jocks. I'm gonna tell you this story real quick. I had done a show back in the 90s several times with a guy out of Houston. I'm not gonna mention any names. In fact, I don't remember their names, to be honest with you. I've done thousands and thousands of interviews. And we had real good response as far as with our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, which is a CD series that we put together years ago, as far as how to change your diet. And they asked me to come out to the studio in order to basically do a show live because they wanted to meet me. I said, fine, that's great. So I flew out to Houston to do the show. I didn't realize that Howard Stern's had gotten a lot of his information from these guys and how they did shows. And what ended up happening is I got to the studio and they wanted me to sign a waiver so that they used me in caricature or made fun of me or did anything horrible to me on air that they were basically not going to be sued. Okay, so I basically took a Sharpie and took off all the stuff I didn't want and went ahead and signed the paperwork. And the girl who brought it to me, her name was, I think it was Candy. And she was dressed in she had a tube top on and short shorts on. And she was really pretty, guys. I mean, she was hot. And so we basically walk into the studio. Candy's with us. They're putting me on the air live, introduce me. And the first thing they ask me is they say, what do you think about Candy? And I said, she's pretty. She's hot. She's a good-looking woman. And they said, would you like to see more of her? And I said, what do you mean more of her? And they said, Candy, strip. And Candy started taking her clothes off right in the studio. I mean, like she was like, you know, like on command, like a, you know, like a robot. And I went, stop. I said, I don't want to see Candy naked. And they said, oh, next question. Now, remember, this is live, guys. This is live radio. This is why I don't care for shock jocks. So the guy says to me, he goes, oh, what are you, gay? Because I didn't want to see Candy naked. And I started laughing. I said, no, man, I'm anything but gay. I said, but I'm a married Christian man. And I said, the only woman I want to see naked is my wife. And this is all live, guys. This is all live radio in Houston, one of the top stations in Houston. I mean, there was no buffering it. It was just going out over the airwaves. And they go, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're married. I said, yeah. And I said, I don't really want to see other women naked. I have no interest in that. I've been married for many, many years. I've got a beautiful, wonderful wife, and I don't do that. I said, oh, okay, well, Candy, you know, by this time I already turned my back to Candy because I have no idea how many pieces of clothing she already removed. And then she said, okay, Candy, go get dressed and leave. And let's go ahead and do a show. That's shock jock stuff, okay? That's the kind of stuff that they did over and over and over again. I don't like that kind of stuff. But now when they try to do that stuff or try to do anything or say anything about anyone, you've got nice shoes or your hair looks nice or you've got a new pair of glasses. Oh, you have nice glasses. Oh, my God, me too. You're sexually harassing me. Guys, this is not okay. It directly destroys the relationship between male and female. Though I don't like shock jocks, a lot of guys, you know, used to listen to those types of shows. But the reality is, guys, it's what they're trying to do to the fabric of society that's so subtle. Can't talk to a woman. Can't date anybody. Can't date anybody. You're a sexist pig if you're dating. You got to hang out. Whatever. What a mess. Guys, I love you. Greater is he who is in us than he's in the world. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you've delivered me from all of this stuff and that I have you living inside of me through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for that. Guys, I pray for you this morning. I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'm on Hagman tonight, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Awesome, bud. Absolutely. Yes, guys, thank you again for the all the support and prayers. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website. The product of the week, which ended up winning pretty strongly, was the chelation therapy. This is a product that has our EDTA in it. It also helps the support removal of heavy metals, toxins out of the body, and also does a very good job at removing plaque from the arteries with the EDTA. So if you've never tried it before, great product to try, especially as you start to get older, you start having that plaque build up, or you start having, you know, toxic buildup, especially if you've been exposed to aluminum, so forth. Really, really good product for that. And you can read more about it on the website at healthmasters.com. It's on sale right now. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week, which I already have a feeling it's going to win because I put it up there and it's already got almost 30 votes just in overnight, is the magnesium brain food is up for vote. Now, of course, the Gastrogest, the 5-HTP, a lot of other great products are also available on there. But again, the magnesium brain food is such a heck of a product. And we've actually talked to a lot of people now that have combined it with the chelation therapy, the magnesium brain food, which is the magnesium thionate that is blood-brain barrier soluble. So it actually gets into the brain, actually helps chelate heavy metals out as well, in conjunction with the chelation therapy, with really, really good detoxifying results. A lot of people have talked about better mental clarity, better memory, better focus by after they use that product for a little bit. So great stuff. Be sure to check it out on the website. Lots of other specials we have on there right now, including the cardio support at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, email us at healthmasters, or you can call us 1-800-726-1834. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So we appreciate the support. Stand strong. Stand firm. Make your voice known. Stand confident. Stand proud. Stand Christian. Stand American. Appreciate you guys. Always be ready. Have a great night. Talk to you again tomorrow, as always.